Hello. Well, this is the discussion of Microeconomics Fall 2009 Exam Number 3. Question 1, decide which of the following statements are definitely true or false, and then choose the best answer from among A through E. The fundamental theorem of welfare economics tells us that there are four statements. The first: only a fundamentally fair economic system will be politically and economically stable. Well, that's just not what the fundamental theorem tells us. Number two, so that's a false. That's wrong. Number two, if certain somewhat technical conditions are valid, economic systems will be maximally efficient if all markets are competitive and the problems of externalities and public goods have been properly dealt with. That is a correct statement of the fundamental theorem. Statement three, as a practical matter, no economic system can hope to be efficient unless government takes an active role in managing the complexities of the modern economy. Well, that's wrong on two levels. First, it may not be true. I don't believe that we're better off. We're probably worse off, in my opinion, because government takes an active role. But second, it's just not what the fundamental theorem says. The fundamental theorem says what statement two says. Okay, statement four. Welfare is maximized, in the Pareto sense, by appropriate welfare programs which are best undertaken by the federal and local governments rather than by the state governments. Well, that's just word salad. I mean, that is not at all what the fundamental theorem says. So, the correct answer is only statement two is true. Question two. Evaluate the following statements and then choose from A through E. Statement one. The Wealth of Nations was written by Milton Friedman. No, it was written by Adam Smith. The Wealth of Nations was written by John Maynard Keynes. No, it was written by Adam Smith. The Wealth of Nations was published just after the Great Depression. No, it was published in 1776. And statement four, Adam Smith is a famous economist who wrote in the mid-1800s. No, he wrote in the 1700s. So the correct answer is none of statements one, two, three, or four are true. You should learn who Adam Smith was and what he wrote. You should also look up John Maynard Keynes and the name of his most important book if it's in any of the assigned chapters. Case question three. Officials at City Bus Corporation increased fares last year and were surprised to find that total revenue fell instead of increasing as expected. What does this tell us? And the correct answer is the demand for bus rides is price elastic. Now, earlier in the course, when we studied elasticity, we learned and we also studied what happens to total revenue as you move along a demand curve. Not revenue from taxes, but total amount of money spent on the good. When prices are very high, no one buys it, no money is spent on the good. When prices are very low, people buy lots of it, but there's very little revenue because the prices are so low. What happens then as you lower prices is that revenue starts at zero, it rises to some maximum, and then it declines back towards zero again. And the amount, but more generally, we also saw what happens to revenue when you change prices, and that depends on the elasticity of demand. If demand is inelastic, then when you change the price, quantity doesn't change much. Therefore, if you increase the price, revenue will go up. If you reduce price, revenue will go down. If demand is elastic, then when you change the price, quantity demanded changes by a lot. So if you raise the price, which would increase revenue, quantity demanded declines. People buy so much less that revenue actually falls. That's what's happened in the case of the bus rides. But definitely review the relationship between revenue and elasticity, and what happens when prices change. All right, question four. There's a diagram, and the question states, refer to the graph above. Given a tax of T on suppliers, revenue collected is, and the answer is, areas C, B and C. Suppliers pay B, and consumers pay C. Now, this is a different wording and a different way of looking at taxes than we discussed in lecture. But and that's why it's a little bit harder question, but it's not beyond what we discussed. When you impose a tax, the price to the buyers tends to go up, and therefore they are paying part of the tax, bearing part of the burden. And the price the sellers get to keep tends to go down, and therefore they are paying part of the tax. And in that diagram, those two areas are the share being paid by the buyers and or the sellers and buyers respectively, areas B and C. A suggestion, if you're going to take the final exam, is to review your notes on the theory of taxes and remember that who sends in the money is not the same as who bears the burden. This question is about who bears the burden. Also remember that we know how to calculate the efficiency cost of taxes, the welfare cost, or the dead weight loss from a tax, that triangle. And also remember that when you're thinking about taxes, you also have to consider other dimensions that are important, such as the enforcement costs of the tax or the cost of collecting the tax. So it behooves you to review all of that. There are bound to be questions on taxes on the final exam. Question five, a monopolist, just like any other business. And the correct answer is, will price its product so that marginal cost equals marginal revenue. Now I'm going to review the other answers and discuss why each one is wrong, because there's something to be learned from the others. A monopolist, just like any other business, has no control over the price at which it sells its product. No, that's exactly backwards. Monopolists do have control over the price. A monopolist, just like any other business, cannot ever price discriminate. No, that's also exactly backwards. It is the monopolist who can price discriminate. Price discrimination is where you charge different prices to different customers. And if you're a wheat farmer, you can't charge a different price to different customers. You can't charge a lower price than normal, because you'd be crazy to do that. You might as well you can sell as much as you want at the market price. And at a higher than market price, you can't get any of your product sold. There are no customers. So only monopolists can price discriminate, and that's an important point. About if you see price discrimination, then you know you're looking at a monopoly market, a market where there's only one seller or a small number that are coordinating their activities. A monopolist, just like any other business, always will sell its product at a price high enough to cover the cost of production and also earn the profit. No business can do that. Businesses, if they want to make as much profit as possible, have to sell at a point where marginal cost equals marginal revenue. And so that is the answer to question five, and I'd suggest you review the chapter on monopoly.